Sarebbe in particolare Swami Sarebbavukari, Kutti Vais, Jai Nithai Gaura Pimanandi.
Hari Hari Bo.
All glories of the assembly.
Jai Krishna.
All glories of the assembly.
Jai Krishna.
All glories of the assembly.
Jai Krishna.
All glories, all glories of Sri Rung Kisi Goranga. All glories of Sri Prabhupada. Jai Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namakam Karoti Vachanam Pangam Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Sri Garam Dinatharanam Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Sri Garam Dinatharanam. Which verse?
13.
Ebhihi
sarvam
idam
jagat
mohitam
nabhijanati
mam
ebhyaha
param avyayam Vibhir Gunamayair Bhavair
Vibhir Gunamayair Bhavair
Ebhi Sarvamidam Jagat
Ebhi Sarvamidam Jagat
Mohitam Nabhijanati
Mohitam Nabhijanati
Mamebhya Paramavyayam
Mamebhya Paramavyayam
Vibhir Gunamayair Bhavair
Vibhir Gunamayair Bhavair
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mamebhyas paramavyayam
Mamebhyas paramavyayam
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair
Ebhi
sarvamidam jagat
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Tribhir gunamayair bhavai
Tribhir gunamayair bhavai
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Tribhir
gunamayair bhavai
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mohitam nabhijanati
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Mamebhya paramavyayam
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair
Ebhi sarvamidam jagat
सर्वमिदं जगत्
मोहितं
न विजानाति मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम्।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Please repeat after me. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Goodness, passion, and ignorance.
The whole world does not know me.
The whole world does not know me.
Who am above the modes?
Who am above the modes?
And inexhaustible.
And inexhaustible.
Purport. The whole world is enchanted by the three modes of material nature. Those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand that transcendental to this material nature is the Supreme Lord Krishna. Every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. There are four classes of men functioning in the three modes, in the three material modes of nature. Those who are purely in the mode of goodness are called brahmanas. Those who are purely in the mode of passion are called kshatriyas. Those who are in the modes of both passion and ignorance are called vaishyas. Those who are completely in ignorance are called shudras. And those who are less than that are animals or animal life. However, these designations are not permanent. I may either be a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or whatever. In any case, this life is temporary. But although life is temporary and we do not know what we are going to be in the next life, by the spell of this illusory energy, we consider ourselves in terms of this bodily conception of life, and we thus think that we are American, Indian, Russian, or Brahmanas, Hindu, Muslim, etc. And if we become entangled with the modes of material nature, then we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is behind all these modes. So Lord Krishna says that living entities deluded by these three modes of nature do not understand that behind the material background is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many different kinds of living entities, human beings, demigods, animals, etc. And each and every one of them is under the influence of material nature, and all of them have forgotten the transcendent personality of Godhead. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, and even those who are in the mode of goodness, cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They are bewildered before the Supreme Lord in His personal feature, which possesses all beauty, opulence, knowledge, strength, fame, and renunciation. When even those who are in goodness cannot understand, what hope is there for those in passion and ignorance? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these three modes of material nature, and those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. Tribhir gunamayair bhavair ebhi sarvamidam jagat mohitam na bijanati mam ebhya param avyayam. So we don't need the translation, is it? Yeah. Let's try. the gunas, material modes, material nature, is what is blocking us or preventing us from being constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That may be one reason why some people, some devotees, fear the system of anasrama, because they think, oh, again, we must, if we identify with one of the modes, like mentioned here, or one of the varnas, each varna is, as Prabhupada explains, connected directly with the modes of material nature. So if we identify with those varnas, then that means that we are connected or identify with the modes of material nature. And of course, our goal in Krishna consciousness is to rise above the modes of material nature. That was Krishna's instruction to Arjuna, that you are Aryan people are those special categories of human beings who are the most elevated. Most elevated means they are topmost Aryan. Aryan actually means topmost living entity. They are those who know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are not, who do not allow themselves to be distracted or deluded. Mohitam, Mohini Prakriti, two energies, Daivi Prakriti and Mohini Prakriti. So that is explained in the Bhagavad Gita also. That Mahatmanastamam Paratam Adaivim Prakritim Marsvitaha Bhajanti Ananya Manaso Gyatva Bhutarim Avyayam. Avyayam, same description is given here. Avyayam, the Supreme Lord is never changing, eternal. Transcendental knowledge is also eternal. The process of bhakti, devotional service, is eternal. But all of this is inaccessible, cannot be attained so easily by those who are in the mode of material nature. So the whole process, the whole purpose of the human form of life, goal actually, the human form of life, is to become, Prabhupada mentions, these modes of material nature, they're not permanent. They're permanent in the lower forms of life. Permanent means it cannot change. Animal life, other forms of life, it is simply automatic. Life is going on, suffering, enjoyment, duration of life, everything is very strictly according to the modes of nature. Cannot change. One has to live out what we say, live out one's karma. One has to live out one's karma. But in human form of life, one can change karma. One can stop. It's a very big understanding, very, very important knowledge to have, that it is only in the human form of life that one can change. One can actually stop, put an end to karmic reactions. That is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita how the five principles. Explain Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, and Kala, and then Karma. Karma is the only one that is temporary. Yeah. Yeah, therefore they are permanent. Even Prakriti. Even Prakriti. Yeah. I have a good watchman.
Kshatriya.
Kshatriya, yeah. Natural Kshatriya. Even though he's so small, no? What he will be when he gets big. So this is a big revelation. Revelation means something that is revealed, something that is usually not commonly known. Most people I see, they don't know. We also didn't know. Most of us, before we come to Krishna consciousness, we don't understand these things because we are covered by the modes of material nature. Most people don't know that they are covered by the modes of material nature. Once we begin to understand, once we begin to know, then one who is intelligent will perform activities in such a way that he is no longer binding oneself. We bind ourselves constantly, continually, and very heavily by the modes of material nature when we are acting on the material bodily platform. So coming back to this fear that some devotees may sometimes have, that if we introduce vanasram, then means that we are again maybe accepting this whole process of the mode of material nature. But Krishna consciousness means, just like one devotee was asking in Gokul Dham, interesting question, first time I hear this question. He was mentioning that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, the Lord explains that Yada Yada Indharmasya Gdhaniya Bhavati Bharata Abhitana Bhadharmasya. He comes, paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya dharma samstapanartha, to establish the principles of dharma. But then at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says sarva dharmam paritaya, abandon all dharma. And so his explanation was that Krishna is telling to abandon all this vanasrama, because at the end of Bhagavad Gita Srimad Bhagavatam begins. So fortunately, it's not quite like that. It means that Krishna does not tell us to abandon the dharma of vanasrama. He is telling us to abandon our material understanding, our material conception of vanasrama. But when we perform our activities in whatever varna it may be, all activities which are performed for the transcendental pleasure of Krishna, that becomes devotional service. That becomes... So this is very important actually to understand, especially for devotees. As devotees, we are thinking that we have to do only bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna, coming to the temple, and don't want to do anything else. But actually, this is a narrow understanding. This is not very deep understanding. We should be ready to perform any activity of the varnas, including shudra activity, because when we offer those activities, when we perform those activities for Krishna, then even so-called shudra, if he's doing everything for Krishna, he's devotee, he's Vaishnava, he's above. So although he externally doing some activity which normally is done or performed by shudra, because he's offering that to Krishna, and because of the consciousness in which he's doing, so that activity becomes devotional activity. So it is misunderstanding that sometimes devotees have, that we um, cannot identify with certain activities, or cannot, especially cannot identify with the system of Vanashrama. Actually, Krishna very strongly emphasizes how because we are still in this material world, still connected with the material nature, therefore we have to act according to those natures, according to our, what is it, according to our prescribed duties, and that we should not give up such prescribed duties. Just like Arjuna was thinking of giving up his prescribed duties and just retiring from the battlefield.
Yeah.
His duty, his devotional duty, his devotional service was to fight. His unusual devotional service. His devotional service was to kill. If one is not prepared to, you know, when they misunderstand devotional service, that is actually those who profess Prabhupada, that is why Prabhupada is explaining that the philosophy of what is called Ahimsa Dharma, it is not complete philosophy. It is not eternal philosophy. Lord Buddha actually introduced Ahimsa Dharma, but he introduced Ahimsa Dharma especially for that time, because people they were misusing. But Ahimsa Dharma is not eternal Dharma, because we see that while we are here in the material world, sometimes for those who are qualified, it is necessary to be violent. The police department, sometimes they must fight. Not everybody is humble and, you know, willingly, humbly going to the jail. Jail cannot. Sometimes they have to be forced. They have to fight. That's why Prabhupada is a little bit critical also about Gandhi's philosophy. Gandhi also was thinking, no, what is it?
Violence.
Yeah, should not be violent. But that is not proper understanding. Brahmana, of course, Brahmana's business is to be non-violent. But if someone is Kshatriya, it is part of his duty. Sometimes when he must be. So devotee is someone who tries to always take shelter of the Daivi Prakriti. Of course, that the best, most powerful way to be sheltered by this Daivi Prakriti is especially the chanting of the holy name and the practice of devotional service. But that practice of devotional service is many, many varieties of such service. Okay, let's talk. questions on this?
Guru Maharaj, like the art of making deities, for example, sculpture, cloth making, pottery making, we are putting under the category of Shudra.
Yes.
So
manual
work. Manual work. So, for example, a devotee, suppose he is hearing this class, for example, when he reads Shudra is in the mode of ignorance, so he feels bad.
Yes.
So what actually, whether it not applies to the Daivarnashrama, under the Daivarnashrama, whether he is not under the mode of ignorance or he still has to accept or...
yeah, that's where one has to explain certain subtleties that are there. devotee means someone who may perform some activity which is normally performed by Shudra, but because he's performing those activities in connection with Krishna, so he's not under the modes of ignorance. So it means generally when someone is not engaged in activities of bhakti or devotional service, then according to the varnas, you know, his activities will be in one of those four varnas, correspond with one of the four varnas. And because generally when one is working manually, then he will generally have, let's say, more inclination or more tendency of or it will be more difficult to more deeply understand about the transcendental subject matter. Compare, let's say, to Brahmana. Brahmana is working especially with his intelligence, intellectual. that's why association is so important. That means if someone, although normally or by his nature, is more more naturally tends to perform, let's say, manual labor or manual activities, by proper association, by proper association, even that manual activity can become spiritualized, and therefore is, anything that is spiritualized is no longer in the mode of ignorance. So it means that devotees, when they hear this, I mean, that should be our basic understanding and conviction, that when we chant the holy name, then it doesn't really matter what activity, external activity, we perform, because we are developing that consciousness of being connected with Krishna. So this is especially for those who are devoid of that connection with devotional service, those who are ignorant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who are just materially engaged. So that means that someone who's a devotee, even though he's working with his hands, doing some let's say Diddy cloth or whatever it may be, then we could say that those instructions don't really apply to him, because he's doing devotional service. He may not be completely situated above the modes of material nature, because it's not so easy to completely do away with, you know, the gunas, but he has that basic knowledge, that basic understanding that he is not this body, and that he's whatever he is doing is meant to be performed for the pleasure of the Lord. So when we very often we were pointing that out just I think yesterday or the other day, how very often Srila Prabhupada in his various purports he often refers to Shudra as being like degraded or very low in consciousness. So that is for Shudras and Vaishyas, etc., who are not connected, who are not part of what we call the Daivi Varnasrama. They are part of Varnasrama. Even people in the Western countries, although they know nothing about Varnasrama, they are engaged actually, because that's the way material nature is doing. Even someone may not know, it's like people are scientists, you know, who've never come to India, who've never read any Vedic books. They're performing activities of an intellectual nature. So they're meant to be brahmanas. They're performing brahminical activities. Of course, most of their activities are very sinful, although they may be using their brains to do so many, you know, like so much of research and writing books and giving big lectures, and at the same time smoking cigarettes and breaking all the, you know, four principles. So they're like fallen brahmanas. But their varna is like naturally, you know, leaning towards brahmana. And we see if they are fortunate to come in contact with devotees and to take up especially the process of devotional service, then in all likelihood their activities, which will take on a devotional, mood, will be more brahminical. They will align themselves more on all different levels with brahminical activities. So these modes of material nature are, especially for those who are completely, let's say, devoid of that contact or that connection with the process of devotional service. And to the extent that one is, even as a devotee, to the extent that one is not very advanced in Krishna consciousness, then he, to varying degrees, these descriptions sometimes apply also. Generally, someone who is less intellectual, then it will be more difficult to understand some of the, you know, because tattva, the science of the absolute truth, you see, atma tattva, the science of the soul, is a very deep subject matter. Even great personalities sometimes are confused or you know. Of course, at the same time, we also see that even simple, ordinary people, they will understand what so-called big scholars don't understand, isn't it? Because it is all a matter of revelation, you know, and also because this transcendental knowledge has nothing to do with our material situation. Transcendental knowledge, you know, even the highest transcendental truth can be revealed to the most common, simple, ordinary person, you see. But generally one's occupation in society will be, you know, even some simple person, for example, may have some very deep understanding of different things, but his vocation, so to speak, or his activity will not be to go around and give big lectures on it. He may have some nice realizations and like that, maybe a very advanced, very pure, self-realized person, although he's not necessarily a Brahmana, according to his material, you know. So it's not, you know, in the Varnasrama system, it is not only those who are Brahmanas who can become self-realized. I mean, Ramananda Roy was not a Brahmana, he was Shudra. But Lord Chaitanya was getting, you know, was requesting him to speak on the highest, you know, topmost transcendental subject matters. And what adds to the confusion, of course, in Kali Yuga is Kali Yuga, because everything is very, very mixed, very, very mixed. For most of our devotees, and most people in general, of course, don't understand so quickly or so easily what is Nirvana. So that, of course, is because we are living, you know, we deviated so much from the system of Varnasrama. If we were more following that system, then our Varna would be known more easily, more early in life also. Nowadays, people in the Western countries especially, I mean, they can live their whole life without understanding what is their Varna. So, these descriptions, we could say, especially in connection with the most material nature, they apply less to those who are devotees, those who are engaged in devotional service. But we should not also commit the mistake that, well, you know, because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, none of this applies to me. I am transcendental to everything. No. Actually, there are some transcendentalists, some schools of philosophy. I believe people who are, yeah, Mayavadi, like Sringeri sect, they still believe, because traditionally it was more or less like that, they still believe that the easiest way to identify someone's Varna is by birth. That, okay, you know, you're born in a Brahmana family, you're a Brahmana. And traditionally, when things were followed nicely, properly, then the general tendency, the general reality was that someone born in a particular Varna family would become or would take up, you see. But the point is very important to understand that it is not simply based. One has to become qualified by proper training, by proper association also.
Well, if in a Shudra family, somebody takes birth and takes occupation of Shudra naturally, whatever they learn from the forefathers, or is another situation where somebody naturally understands that their occupation is Shudra, you know, arts and crafts, and so they take up this kind of activity. Sometimes I've heard we can, you know, in some purport or somewhere, Shudra can also become Brahmana if they qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a Varnashram system, in a community, Shudras, they get qualified and become Brahmana. And then, who is there as Shudras? And then,
don't worry, not that many Shudras will become Brahmana. It is not so easy to become Brahmana. Prabhupada's whole endeavor was to, you know, pick up brahmanas or try and bring people to that platform, even though they are coming from all kinds of fallen backgrounds or shudra backgrounds. So even suppose a large number of shudras, or even all the shudras, become brahmanas. So brahmanas, if they become Vaishnava brahmanas, because only this becoming brahmana is not really the perfection. In the same way that one who rises from shudra to brahmana, so he's progressing. So in the same way, a brahmana needs to rise to the platform of pure goodness, means Vaishnava. Then he will actually be progressing as well. So that's why it's so important that when one is a Vaishnava, then he, if necessary, can perform any of the occupational duties. Yeah, because if it is necessary to sweep the floor, or then he will perform those activities. But generally, it is better that one try to, you know, that is explained in, by Narada Muni, that in times of emergency, then brahmanas, and there can be some interchange in one's occupational duty. What generally would happen over many, we could say, lifetimes, because isn't it, the Varnashrama system is like a long term. It's meant to facilitate or bring in a long term changement over many lifetimes. That if one is born Shudra in this life by following the prescribed duties of a Shudra, then in his next life, then he'll be promoted from the mode of ignorance to the mode of mixed ignorance and passion. And then gradually, you know, for some people it may happen within one lifetime. For some people, probably most people, it happens over a longer period, maybe many lifetimes. But when one is fortunate to come in contact with, for example, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, that can happen, you know, from the lowest, even less than Shudra. I mean, you know, even Shudra. Even in the Western countries, or pretty well all over the world, even less than Shudra. You know. Because Shudra is already very elevated. When we read the descriptions of Shudra, it's already very elevated. It's already human level, right? Varnasam means human level. So, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is so powerful that it can pick up those who are less than Shudras and bring them to the topmost platform of being more than Brahmanas. More than Brahmanas, Vaishnava. So that is Lord Chaitanya's miracle, we could say, or the power of the holy name, the power of this, the Sankirtan movement. But although that is there, I mean, as Prabhupada has explained, we see that it is still not that immediately the majority of people will come to that platform, but it is quite possible that an individual can very, very quickly, you know, come to that platform. Prabhupada's point in the whole discussions he was having with devotees, with his disciples, regarding Varnashrama, is that we are seeing, however, that many of our devotees are not so quickly coming to that platform, that many of our devotees, even senior devotees, are falling down, so therefore Varnashrama system is important to introduce and to follow. So that means that even just imagine, even though we are taking up the process of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, still Varnashrama is important. That it is very, very powerful, but you know, if one actually properly surrenders, he can immediately transcend, but not everyone is willing or able to perform that kind of surrender. For the majority of devotees and for the majority of non-devotees, I mean for all the non-devotees and majority of our devotees, that system is to help us progress in advance.
For example, when Arjuna fights, then consciousness surrenders to Lord.
Yeah.
Like, not exactly taking Arjuna's example, if another Kshatriya, for example. So, he, by doing his duty, occupational duty, perfectly, whether he goes back to Godhead or next life, Kshatriya has to come to Brahmana's next life and then he has to transmit.
Do you mean in the case of Arjuna or Kshatriyas like Arjuna?
Like Arjuna.
Yeah. No, one can, if one is performing one's activity as a service to the Lord, so whether one is playing out the role of a Kshatriya or Vaishya or whatever it may be, if one's consciousness is in rendering a devotion service to the Lord, then one qualifies to go back home, back to Godhead. It is not that because I'm Kshatriya, although I'm performing free devotional service, well, I have to come back and be a Brahmana in my next life. Not like that.
Maharaj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says sthane sthiti bhutam.
Yes.
And when preaching is done to city people or those who are working in factories and all this,
yeah,
when we say sthane sthiti bhutam, whatever situation you are in,
that applies to when before they went to the city.
Before?
That applies to before they went to the city, they should have stayed. They should have not gone to the city. Yeah, they will say, this is the question I think that people will say, well, you don't have to introduce Varnashram because Lord Chaitanya says, wherever you are, adopt the process, send the holy name, go back home, back to Godhead. Yes? Yeah. So we need to understand that instruction that, well, on two levels. One is that when Lord Chaitanya was giving this instruction, he was especially referring to people who were in their natural occupational activities. You know, that if you are a householder, in a household, in those days there was not practically, I mean, most people were living much more closer to the Varnashrama principles than today. So in other words, it is better that one remain in one's more natural way of living and by offering one's activities to the Lord, then one can purify one's existence, one can become liberated actually from the material world, one can become completely purified by remaining in one's position and taking up the process. The other way is that, okay, if someone is finding oneself, like most people nowadays, in very difficult situation, like surrounded by non-devotees and in cities where it's very, very passionate, even there he should take up the process of devotional service, and even there he can also make progress and because devotional service is completely transcendental to the material, one's material situation, one can also become self-realized wherever one may be and whatever material situation one may be situated in. Although that is true, we generally, because Srila Prabhupada is also explaining this way, we generally recommend that people try and live in a more congenial situation, you know, surrounded by devotees, in a more, let's say, sattvic atmosphere, which the cities are not nowadays. So therefore, to facilitate their practice of devotional service, we will, as Srila Prabhupada did, we will recommend, it is good to recommend that they seek an alternative way of living. Again, not that the cities per se are bad in themselves, because 6 cities existed in the Vedic times, cities over there as well. But they were of a different, let's say, nature, or the whole arrangement was very much different. So we also tell people who are, wherever they are, make your home as much as possible, you know. Spiritualize your home, have an altar in your home, etc. like that. But we need to explain how it is much more conducive for practicing devotional service if we live in a community of devotees, which is generally extremely difficult to have that kind of arrangement in the city. In a few places, you know, like in Dallas, our devotees are all living in the same block. In a few places, few, not many. But even then, it's devotees, most of our devotees still have to work in some, you know, commie place, send their children to commie school, all these things. That's not at all ideal. So therefore, because the cities are all based, you know, they're not based on Vedic principles. So therefore, the cities as we know them are not at all ideal places to live. They're not at all ideal places to perform devotional service. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada actually did not favor these kind of cities. Prabhupada was not against cities as such, but he did not favor, did not support the kind of passionate cities that we have, which are simply, you know, pulling people down, being heavily influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance. So therefore, Prabhupada wanted us to create an alternative. That alternative is away from such passionate places, and in this way, one will be more easily be able to take up the practice of the devotional service. So until that happens, then yeah, okay, wherever you are, until you can change this kind to this kind of situation, do as much as you can, you know, by chanting the holy name, by and performing various devotional activities in your home, etc. But understand that it's a very you're doing this in a very uncongenial atmosphere, which is not so desirable. So we can, yeah. Even small like this, and they start, I guess, from version. Yeah.
Just chanting.
Their own way of chanting. Dies from Bhagavad Gita, huge eyes, still a cold fire.
Krishna is the Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Still a Prabhupada.
Yeah.